850 is adopted. If you could read item 851, please.
Authorize a contract for $209,277 and provide payment for delivery of short-term rent assistance funded by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development Emergency Solutions Grants.
This ordinance authorizes a pass-through from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to Home Forward. These dollars are directed towards the short-term rental assistance program, which Home Forward administers on behalf of Portland, Gresham, and Multnomah County. We have staff here from the Housing Bureau if anybody has any questions. Okay, no question. Does anybody wish to testify on?
Yes, I have three people signed up. Please come on up. Michael Withy, Charles Johnson, and Ed Lyle.
Go ahead and just have a chair, and welcome, and we'll start with you, Michael. Just give us your name, and you have 3 minutes.
Michael Withy, good morning. Yeah, I appreciate the fact that we are getting more dollars for emergency shelter. I think it's a good thing, obviously. One thing I'm worried about is the fact that a lot of the rents are being paid to owners of big business, which housing is a big business. I think that we really need to consider the different options we have next year when we do the same thing. I hope that we have better programs in place and less expensive rents and better ideas as far as more space that's available for less. I think that you guys are doing a good job, and like you stated, Commissioner Fritz, last time, there are lots of options. We really don't seem to be exploring those options. I know that I had a meeting with your office. I haven't heard back. You know, this is sort of reserved for the next item that I'm going to speak on, but Micro-Community Concepts has worked with lots of different organizations in Portland. We're looking for land. We can rent houses for $250. This money is going to go for $750. It's twice as much, three times as much rent. We could get twice, three times as many people either off the streets or prevent them from becoming homeless in the first place if we start exploring these different options that we have instead of going with the status quo, just pay rent to expensive apartment buildings. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Charles? Mr. Lyle, would you like to go? Just give us your name, and you have 3 minutes.
Well, I want to apologize for having not met any of you.
Could you give us your name, please?
Oh, yes. My name is Ed Lyle. I have been living in the Buckman neighborhood for 40 years and have been, and I believe you recall my tenure on the Citizen Involvement Committee for Multnomah County. I've also had various leadership positions in various neighborhood boards and such like that. I don't know exactly how one would pull one particular item from this agenda, but I'm very concerned about what's going on in section number one, where it says that you've already authorized 21 sub-recipient contracts for the provision of services. One of those, to my knowledge, includes the demolition of St. Francis Park, and that is what I'm here today to speak against. It's with either Catholic Charities or the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. And I'd like to see that eliminated or at least put on a long-term hold. The St. Francis Park has been in existence for 45 years. It is the only private public operated park in the city and perhaps on the West Coast. It was started in 1969, and it has had millions of dollars of private foundations and community activity to keep it going over those years. Now, it seems like since it's private, that and who can be against the creation of new public housing, or at least what theoretically could be public and low-income and moderate-income housing, we're faced with the loss of a park in an area where over the last 40 years, the city has granted money to the park on the basis of Buckman being a park-deficient neighborhood. It still is, and my argument is, where will the children play? 150 new units, I don't know what the plan is currently. that's not leading to any new park that I can understand, or parking either, but certainly the park needs to be maintained for a while. I don't think that the neighborhood is making a big request to say that, no, we weren't involved in any manner in the competitive bidding, which I understand was finished in June of 2012. I think that that is an omission. While the neighborhood may not be a credible bidder, it could be now, and it must be. If the park needs to be sold, it needs to be sold to a neighborhood organization which will operate it properly. It's been allowed to deteriorate and run down and become an eyesore, and yet it is still a functioning park for the people, and I don't want to see it go.
Sir, can I just,
Yeah, Mr. Lyle, appreciate your testimony. What you're referring to is there is a process underway right now where the Portland Housing Bureau and the City Council will ultimately make some decisions about investing about $18 million in affordable housing proposals, and there are, as you mentioned, two proposals that would occupy the site of St. Francis. So there will be a public process, and those none of those proposals have been selected or finalized yet, but it is working its way to City Council, and ultimately we will have a public hearing and decision on that.
Okay. Is there any possible timeline that might take?
I believe we're supposed to make those decisions by certainly next month, September, if not, in fact, later this
okay.
month.
Yeah. Well, there is a growing support in the neighborhood for the park. If the park has anything going against it, it's the fact that Buckman is 90% renters. There's probably only 50% of the same people in that neighborhood, and word of mouth says the park is a little dangerous. Of all things, the trees kind of obstruct view into the park, and it just reinforces the fact that it's a scary park and a place where kids can't go. It is a viable park, and it's a wonderful park. I worked there myself, and it should be preserved.
Mr. Lyle, I just learned of this issue at the Buckman Community Station picnic in Colonel Sumner Park this past Sunday, so I will be asking Parks to engage with the Housing Bureau in discussions. I'm not sure if we've been brought into that discussion as yet.
Thank you.
But we will be from now on.
Also, I would note, Commissioner Fritz, that in the last 5 years, we did expand the footprint of the property that Parks owns at the Washington Monroe High School. So that is a public park. That is a couple, I mean, I realize it's a couple blocks away, but we did expand that
Kitty
footprint
corner.
In conjunction with
Kitty Corner.
Pardon me?
Oh,
it's Kitty Corner.
It's not improved, though.
Pardon me?
It's not improved.
I understand. But it's a place that kids can run around safely, and there is a plan for the future to develop it. So.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lyle.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, Commissioners. Good to be back. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and it was interesting here. I realize Mr. Lyle's concern for St. Francis Park might not dovetail exactly with this rental assistance, but I look forward to that public process. As we all know, when Bob Wentworth from Wentworth Chevy was here a few weeks ago, the Inner East Side industrial area often feels neglected at every end of the spectrum. And while we need more housing for working people there, we also need more park space. As to this short-term rental assistance, it might be beneficial to other people in the audience. I couldn't find very clear information. I wonder if staff, Tracy Manning or somebody, could talk about how much of this is stopgap money for REACH and other well-entrenched low-income housing agencies, and how much will actually reach out to new people on the brink of homelessness with standard landlords. Obviously, the community organizations like REACH and I think Hacienda need to make their budget and receive their rental payments from their tenant clients that they have. But those managed people in non-standard market housing usually have a support network that can keep them in housing, whereas sometimes single-parent families that aren't on any kind of special assistance program are in crisis situations on the verge of homelessness, and I think those are the target populations. So I wonder if there's any information that we have about the real nature of where this money might end up. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. This is an emergency ordinance. Please call the roll.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz.
My understanding this is used for people who are currently housed who get into a bit of a short-term crunch and need assistance for 1 or 2 months. So I think this is very good use of funds, and it is in the budget. Aye.
Fish.
Just to be clear, it's used to keep people in their housing and to rapidly rehouse. It is arguably our most flexible dollar. It is funded jointly by Home Forward. The federal government was the pass-through, the county and the city, and it's probably one of the best examples of a collaboration in local government where the dollars go to prevent people from being in a worse situation. And I think we can get Charles the data on who gets the money. That's a fair question. There is a report that the consortium puts out. And I think we should also highlight next time the fortune we save in other dollars by keeping people from falling into homelessness. The family we keep together in their apartment by helping them with security deposit or an extra month's rent means a lot of downstream services and crises that are averted. So it's a wonderful program, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Please read.